pro-democracy protests continue in Eswatini. In an attempt to return the situation to normal, government has introduced a curfew. People are not allowed to be on the streets from 6 o'clock in the evening and 5 o'clock in the morning. The People's United Democratic Movement, PUDEMO, made a call on the people of Eswatini to unite in exerting pressure on the country's government to democratize. PUDEMO has held a media briefing in Mbabane. It says the time has come to end the Dinkundla system of government led by King Mswati III. Tensions are mounting in the kingdom, with activists demanding that the prime minister be directly elected by the people. PUDEMO President Mlungisi Makhanya says it is time for Eswatini to have a multi-party democracy.
The people of Swaziland are as clear as they have always been over the decades that the regime of the remaining last absolute monarch in Africa must fall. In terms of the Royal Constitution of Swaziland, the government of the country is constituted by and through the king, who holds absolute power over all arms of the state. Indeed, PUDEMO is heartened by the acts of bravery, defiance and resilience of the people of our country in demanding their full freedoms, their peaceful actions against this bloodthirsty and illegitimate regime.
The government of Eswatini has released a statement describing the protest as criminal. Some of the ports of entry, especially on the site of Eswatini, were reportedly closed. Acting Prime Minister Themba Masuku has assured residents of Eswatini and the international community that the situation will be returned to normal.
I'd like to take this opportunity to assure Maswati and the international community that His Majesty King Mswati III is in the country and continues to lead in working with government to advance the kingdom's goals. Government will update the nation on interventions on the current situation as the day progresses. In the meantime, we appeal for calm, restraint, and peace from all Emaswati.
Meanwhile, political analyst Dr. Spetfon Dlamini says the situation in Eswatini has a negative impact on the economic development of the country. He says it will be very important for both government and the political activists to engage in dialogue to find a solution.
This matter at Eswatini really has to be taken serious, and the situation requires serious political intervention. The amount of, the looting that is happening there, which has also contributed tremendously towards vigilantism, people are now taking law into their own hands, and the silence is too loud from the government, to which the people are supposed to be hearing from. And that is the one thing that contributes tremendously towards what is happening in Swaziland. I can assure you that, you know, for example, the returns of trucks, it's just really nothing compared to what we anticipate, especially if there isn't much of a platform or a dialogue that is created between the concerned parties. By concerned parties, of course, I mean the state and the leadership of the current state, and those, of course, who are advocating for the transformation of the political current landscape in Swaziland.
Government has deployed its security forces on the ground to defuse the situation and protect the people of Eswatini. Schools remain closed. Government institutions will close at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mutsibwa Manareng, SABC, Mbombela.
Now, for the latest developments from Eswatini, we join on the line by Lucky Lukela. He's a spokesperson for the Swaziland Solidarity Network. A very good morning to you, sir, and welcome.
Good morning to you, and good morning to the listeners of SAFM.
Mr. Lukela, we understand that schools are closed. So how is the situation in Eswatini this morning, where there were violent clashes overnight, apparently?
Yes, there were violent clashes overnight after the announcement of a curfew, which in a very bizarre manner was announced an hour before it started, which was at 5 p.m. and people were expected to be out of the cities by 6 p.m. And only today where people will at least be able to leave at 3:30. something again that is so bizarre that you'll expect businesses by the time to have all closed down and people started moving away from the cities. So people did not listen to this call by the Prime Minister, because the bizarre nature of it was that even before he announced this curfew, he then closed down the entire internet connection to the people of Swaziland. So this was not necessarily a concerned leader. It was more of a person that was trying to hold the other part at a gunpoint to do what the other wants him or herself to listen or to do. So that's what then angered the people of Swaziland. As we speak, they couldn't listen. For instance, all the roads that lead to the major cities, again, last night were closed down by the people. So the situation, I agree with your political analysis, is untenable on the ground. For the first time in the history of Swaziland, protest action, where the people are literally telling the Swazi government that is enough, which has also led to a very late audio recording and apology by one of the king's daughters, who is the eldest daughter, Princess Khanyiso, who also doubles as a minister of ICT in Swaziland, who came out on behalf of the king to apologize to the people of Swaziland and literally begging the nation to forgive the royal family. I can simply quote verbatim some of the things that she said. For instance, although she said it in isiSwati, she went on to say, "I know some of my brothers and sisters have publicly said wrong things that are not expected to be said by any human being." She further went on to say, "I know my brothers and sisters have flouted opulence in front of your eyes while you are poor. On behalf of my father, I'm apologizing." Now, the question is, if the king is in Swaziland, why would the king abuse his daughter and not be the one that speaks to the people of Swaziland? Because if genuinely the apology comes from him, he should have been the one that addresses the nation. I can safely say to you, Swaziland is on an autopilot.
Mm-hmm. So are you suggesting then that the king is not in the country? The government is suggesting that he is in the country.
The king left the country on Monday night, my brother. I can still confirm. That's why, for instance, we were flooded. I still have the audio from his own daughter. There is no way that a father will send a child if genuinely he is begging for forgiveness to the people. Yes. This tells you that the daughter herself may not even be in the country, because this order was then later released to the Swazi media in Swaziland and the people of Swaziland. I received it direct from herself, because I do have her number. So that tells you that many of the royal family members are out of the country.
So how do you see the protests continuing today and into the future, and where will it stop?
Well, I cannot be too sure about stoppage of the protest action, because like I indicated that in the history of my own activism that I've experienced in Swaziland, I would say that spans into 30 years, I've never experienced such a thing. That's why, for instance, I've mixed emotions. There is this one that says, Lucky Lukele, it is possible to go back home. There is also this other emotion that says, can the people of Swaziland be safe and be looked after? That's why our major call now is with the people of South Africa, is with, in particular, the government and Mozambique, to quickly move in and quell a situation that may turn to something that all of us may regret tomorrow.
What are the people's main demands? And is there any sign that the government will be budging?
The demand of the people of Swaziland are very, very simple. All what they've done now, they've linked their demand to the historical demands of the people of Swaziland, in particular, as well presented by the Premier Liberation Movement, PUDEMO, since 1983. Number one, unban political parties immediately. Number two, allow all the unconditional return of all exile into the country. Number three, release all political prisoners, including those that are currently out on bail. Scrap all those political charges that were created by the regime. And in those political activists that must be released, it includes a South African citizen that is currently serving 85 years in Swaziland by the name of Amos Mbenz. They are then saying to the last one, call for a constitutional assembly. The constitutional assembly will then prepare a constitution for 2 years that will then help the country into a new dispensation. And again, that constitutional assembly must also elect an interim government that will lead the country at least for 2 years while preparing for election and all kinds of a situation, because you cannot just throw a country into the air. There has to be a leadership. That's what I can safely say has scared the hell out of the king to then allow or call the army to move in the street.
Yes.
What we have just picked up and which now causes panic, not just to us, also to some of the royal members' family who are so, I can safely say, are sympathetic, is that since Sunday night, there has been a silent coup that is currently going on. The army now is divided into two. There are those that are saying they want to move in and take over the country because clearly there is no leadership.
Yes.
There are those that are pro and hardcore and hardliners who are aligned to the monarch. For instance, I can say, for instance, the protester that was shot on Monday night, that bullet came from those hardliners. So Swaziland, that's why we are desperately now calling for South Africa and the SADC regime. For the first time in their lives, these leaders, can they just move in and quell a situation even before
yes.
it gets out of hand?
Yes.
This is what mm-hmm. we anticipate from neighbors.
Yes. Mr. Lukele, unfortunately, that's where we got to leave it. Aluta, continue. Lucky Lukele is the spokesperson of the Swaziland Solidarity Network.